Take your bulletin again, turn there, and you'll find two passages, one from Exodus and one from Deuteronomy. We're working through the Ten Commandments. We've covered the first three. I was thinking we might get a little further through by this time in the summer, but we're only through commandment number three. Today we're covering commandment number four. You could find them, of course, in your Bible, but the reason I printed it out there is because this is the biggest difference between the two printings of the Ten Commandments, the two givings of the law. There's a 40-year gap in between these two givings, and so the biggest difference is the reason given for why we should observe the Sabbath day. So by having them in front of you, it'll be a little more obvious. Melissa and I were away, so it's good to be back. We were away for the past 2 weeks because of some preaching obligations as well as some weddings. And it's good. I think I saw Quinn and Grace here somewhere. Are they around here? Just Quinn. All right, we'll call out Grace then. We'll tell her we missed. We want you to tell her we missed her. But Quinn and Grace are back in town. Living just across the street, so you can bother them as much as you want. And then they're celebrating their 16th day, getting married. And then Tim and Aubrey Weir were married in Colorado just 8 days ago, and they moved back into the area yesterday, so we can bother them as well. We're glad to have them. They were great celebrations, two great couples. It's good to have all four of you back with us again. Back to the passage at hand. This is the fourth commandment. It's the command to observe the Sabbath day, which in the Old Testament was the seventh day, Saturday. And in the New Testament, that Sabbath day has become Sunday, the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, because that's the day that the Lord Jesus rose from the dead. This command was actually given to us in the week of creation. So it's been with us ever since that week, but then continues on in this New Testament era, having been changed from Saturday to the Lord's Day. So let's give attention to God's Word and let these words restore your soul so you can rest in God. Let's listen. Exodus 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant, or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. And then from Deuteronomy chapter 5, observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your ox or your donkey, or any of your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. That's God's word. May He open our eyes to help us delight in this good command. I want you to imagine that today is your birthday. Great day for you. And I, being your best friend, of course, I wanted to get you something really great. And so I thought and I thought and I researched and I researched. I asked your other friends who aren't as good of friends as I am, but your other friends and your family, what they thought you might want and need. And after lots of work, I finally found the perfect gift for you. It's the latest, the greatest, the most expensive computer in the world. Now I realize computers don't excite all of you, or maybe most of you, but just play along. Let's say that you are a big gamer. You play games online all the time. You're a photographer and a videographer and a musician and a software designer all together wrapped up in one person. And this computer is way faster, has way more storage capacity, way more features than your clunky 20-year-old desktop that you've been using. Now you can download any software you want, you can play better games, you can work way more efficiently, produce a way better final product. It's everything you ever wanted. And I know you need it because, well, I'm your best friend. So you open up this gift and your mind is blown. You say, how did you know that I wanted something like this? And I say, well, because I'm your best friend. And that's what best friends do. And you open it up, you get working on it right away, and instantly your life is enhanced, your work is enhanced in just about every way. Done with projects like that. I leave you alone to let you get acquainted with your computer, and I'm happy that you're happy. Well, a few months pass by, and I haven't heard from you for a little bit, so I drop in to check on you, and when you answer the door, I know that something isn't right. Your hair's a bit frazzled, it looks like you haven't showered for a week, and I say, well, what happened to you? And you say, well, I'm sorry, I'm just way behind on all my work. I have to get this video done by tonight. I have this incredibly complex program I have to write by tomorrow. This game that I've been trying to play is not working right. I have this wedding video to edit and pictures to edit. And I'm so frustrated because my computer isn't working. It just gets bogged down. It's so slow. I say, wait, your computer's not working? That can't be. So I walk back into your office, and I see your old computer on your desk, and I see the computer that I gave you on the floor, and you're actually using it to prop up your desk. And I say, well, what are you doing? Why is the computer I gave you on the floor? And you say, I ask, is it not working? He says, no, it works great. But honestly, I didn't like the color of it, so... I went back to my old computer, and it works great to stabilize my desk. I mean, feel this desk. It doesn't wobble at all. And I say, are you serious? You don't like the color, and that's why you went back to your old computer. No wonder you're frustrated with your work. I gave you this gift that's going to make your life way easier, but you're using it now to prop up your desk. I pick it up. I give it to you again. I say, start using it, and it will change your life. And you finally give in. And sure enough, it changes your life. We've come today to the fourth commandment. And yes, it is a command. But within this command, God, who knows us way better than we know ourselves, who knows exactly what we need, this God, who actually is our best friend, has given us a precious gift. And it's the gift of resting from our labors one day each week. To rest, to gather with His people, to worship Him, God has given you a gift to rest. And this gift will actually revolutionize your life. It has the power to change your life, to refresh you, to strengthen you, to make you even more productive and effective for those 6 days of work that you put in. But all too often, instead of using it and enjoying it for all its work, it's easy for us to sort of set it under our desk, go back to our old way of life, discard this gift because we don't like a certain feature of it. Well, the reality is God knows that if you don't get rest, your life is going to go haywire. You will be stressed out and frustrated, anxious, overworked, overwhelmed, all because you stop using this gift that God's given you. When Jesus referenced this day, He said that the Sabbath was made for man, meaning God made it as a gift for you. Don't squander it. Don't set it under your computer desk, but enjoy it and use it and delight in it, and it will enhance your life in every way. Delight in the Lord's day. The fourth commandment is the longest of all the commands, and it splits nicely into three parts. There is the command, then there are some instructions, And then there are the reasons why we should obey this command. I want to focus primarily on the third reason, the third aspect, the reason for this command. So I'm going to cover the first two parts a little more briefly, the command and the instructions, and then we're going to spend a little bit more time on the third part of the reasons. So first, the command. Remember and observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy. I want to focus on four key words here in this command. The first word is remember. Remember indicates that this isn't something that he's just starting right then. This is something that he's referring to something that's been an old pattern. This pattern actually started at the very beginning of time. God set the pattern of working 6 days and then resting during the week of creation. God isn't setting a new pattern. He's just reminding them of an old pattern. It comes from the creation week. So remember. Second word is observe. Instead of remember, Deuteronomy 5 says, observe the Sabbath day. And the Hebrew word that we translate as observe is hard to capture in one English word. And so the idea here is to keep or to cultivate, to take care of it. It's the same word used when God put man in the garden and told him to take care of it and to cultivate it. It also includes this idea of protection. It's the same word used in Psalm 121:7, where it says that God will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. Same word. As God keeps our souls, so we also are to keep the Sabbath. What that tells us is that this is a day that needs cared for, because like a cancer, there are many things that seek to invade this day. And many things have, and in large part have killed this day. The Lord's Day has become more of a work day, or a play day, or a sports day, or a hobby day, or whatever day, but it's no longer really a Sabbath day. And so this day needs kept. We need to work at keeping this day. The third word here is Sabbath. Remember, observe, and Sabbath. Sabbath is the word, we borrow that word directly from the Hebrew, and it means simply to stop or to rest. So you could read this command, remember the stop day or the rest day to keep it holy. God built into us a need to rest. And this is pretty obvious, considering that we spend one third of our lives sleeping. We need rest each day, and we need rest each week. And so, on top of our sleep, God gives us a whole day every week to stop and to rest. And what a gift that is. And then the last word is holy. To keep it holy. The word holy means to be set apart. To make it different from the other 6 days. This is a whole day that should feel different from the rest of the 6 days of the week. And not just different, but set apart to the Lord. Of course, the primary way that we make this day holy is by gathering with the church for worship, to delight in the Lord, to celebrate what He's done for us. Now, added to this command are a few instructions. That's the command in a nutshell. So we remember, we observe the Sabbath to keep it holy. Now added to this command are a few instructions, and instructions are helpful for us so that we know how to observe this day and to keep this day holy. You know, if we don't have instructions, it's really an exercise in frustration, because, well, how exactly are we supposed to keep this day holy? Well, God tells us. He tells us, after he gives the command to remember the Sabbath, he gives us instructions, and he says, here's how you're to remember this day and to keep it holy. Here's how you're meant to use this gift. There are three basic instructions that he gives to us to remember the Sabbath day. So four parts of the command, three basic instructions. The first instruction is you have 6 days to work. Order your life so that you can do what you need to do for those 6 days. Plan to do your work for 6 days so that you can enjoy the Sabbath. Now, the reality is that you might not get all your work done in 6 days. That happens. In fact, if you think about it, you'll never get all your work done in 6 days. There's always more work to be done. But whether your work is done or not, the seventh day is meant to be a stop day, a rest day. You have 6 days to work. Make the most of it so that you can enjoy the day of rest. The second instruction is to not do any work. So you work 6 days and then don't do work that seventh day. And initially that seems pretty straightforward. It's a day to stop working. But when you think about it, there's lots of gray matter in this area. It's not so black and white like we sometimes like to think. And there are glimpses. We're given a glimpse into this gray matter when Jesus and his disciples were walking through a grain field. On the Sabbath, they're walking through the grain field, and the disciples, they picked some grain as they were walking, rubbed it in their hands, ate the grain, and the Pharisees birthed the small cow and said, "Look, he broke the Sabbath. He's working. That's harvesting. See, Jesus, I knew you were a bad guy." Jesus said, "You're missing the whole point. It's not a day of restriction where you can't do anything, but it's a day of rest." And he's encouraging us here to understand the spirit of the law, not the letter of the law. It's a day of rest. So rest from your work, but there are still some things, some work that you still need to do or that's okay to do this day. You know, getting dressed is work. And for some of us, it's a lot of work. I mean, I don't just roll out of bed this way. It takes some work. But I put in the work because it's appropriate. As parents, we still have to take care of our kids. We don't just let them fend for themselves on the Lord's Day because we've clocked out. No, we still have to care for them. We still have to do dishes or cook food. This is also a day that we're told we can use to serve people like Jesus does when he heals the man and others on the Sabbath day. These are good things. But it takes some work. So God says very clearly, don't do any work, but understand the spirit of the law, not the letter of the law. Stop working so that you can rest. So the instructions. Do your work in 6 days. Stop working. And the last instruction is create an environment so that others can rest as well. Create an environment that others can rest as well. Not only should you not do any work, but also don't make your wife or your children or your servants, and actually don't even make your cows work on this day. And if there's a visitor among you, a foreigner, an immigrant, even an illegal immigrant, don't make him work either, so that he too can enjoy this gift. What that tells us is that this is not meant just to be a personal day to rest and enjoy, but it's meant to be a community day of rest that everyone gets to enjoy. We're to create an environment within our city gates, within our homes, within our communities, where all people get to rest on that day, whether native or foreigner, rich or poor, student or worker. This day is a gift from God, a day of rest, and let's let others enjoy this gift as well. Let's share it so the whole community can enjoy it. As you enjoy this gift, are you helping to create an environment so others can rest as well? Or by your decisions, are you creating an environment where they are, in some places, forced to work? Or where they make their most money? Or oftentimes it's the poor or the immigrant or the illegal immigrant who then is forced to work. Let's enjoy this day as a community day of rest so that others can rest as well. So that covers the command, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, and the instructions, work 6 days, rest on the seventh, and then create an environment so others can work, can rest as well. Now I want to turn attention to the reasons given for this day. Why should we observe this day? This is where we find the biggest difference in the Ten Commandments. Exodus and Deuteronomy give us two different reasons for observing this command. says in Exodus, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, because in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and the sea and all that's in them, and then he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So he's referencing creation. Well, in Deuteronomy 5, it says, observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy because you were slaves in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Well, which is it? It's helpful to understand. It's helpful for us to understand that for any given command, there are a variety of reasons why we should obey it. So when you tell your son to take out the trash and he says, why do I have to take out the trash? You can give him a number of reasons why he should take out the trash. Number one, because I said so. Number two, because it stinks. Number three, because if we don't take our trash out of the house, it's just going to pile up here. Number four, since you're a member of this family, we all need to contribute to the welfare of this home. Number five, because we're your parents and we provide a house and food for you, and to express thanks to us, we want you to take out the trash. So right there, I gave you five reasons, all legitimate reasons, and we can think of more. Well, for each of the Ten Commandments, you could actually brainstorm a long list of reasons why we should obey each one. And for this command, we could brainstorm more than just two, but God highlights these two reasons for us to consider. The first reason, keep the Sabbath day because God did. Keep the Sabbath because God did. God created the world in 6 days, and then he rested the seventh day. That seems odd for God to have to rest. Did he need to rest? Well, of course not. He wasn't tired from creating. So why did he rest? There's one reason. He rested on the seventh day to set a pattern for us, because he knew that although he didn't need rest, he knew that we do. God rested the seventh day to give you the gift of rest because he knows you need it. You know, it's amazing that children, how oblivious they are to the fact that they're tired. You know, when they're melting down at home, everything's a big deal. They're whining and complaining, and mom says it's time to take a nap. And what does her daughter say? But I'm not tired. They're oblivious to the fact that they are exhausted. Well, how often do our lives fill up? They get flustered and frenzied and tense and anxious. We're overwhelmed and overworked. And God says, rest. But then we whine about it, saying, but I'm not tired. I got more things to do. There isn't going to be another time to do this. The opportunity's right now. I'm going to miss it if I don't work right now. I have a test tomorrow. And then I got projects due this the rest of the week. Don't make me rest right now. I can't rest. Too much to do. And instead of enjoying a day of rest, it becomes a burden and we resent it and we complain about it like a 2-year-old who doesn't want to take a nap. You know, there's a time in the life of Israel when Jeroboam II was reigning as king, and under the hand of God, there was a shift in power in that part of the world, and that greatly benefited Israel. And it led to an era of great prosperity, the kind they hadn't seen for over 200 years since the time of Solomon. It brought all kinds of opportunity to make money, to develop business and trade. And during that time, the people began to resent the Sabbath because they had to stop. There were all these opportunities to make money and they had to stop. And they were whining about it like a 2-year-old not wanting to take a nap. And they said, well, when is the Sabbath going to be over so that we can go back to work? Time is money. We're wasting it. Reality is that we need rest. He built in us a need to rest. And God gifted you with a day to rest. Don't whine about it, but enjoy it. It's a gift. And this gift will make you much more effective and efficient and less frenzied and less worried for the other 6 days of the week. Enjoy the gift. Don't complain about it. Now, it's important to ask a question along with this reason. why would God create us to need rest? I mean, we sleep away 1/3 of our lives. And on top of that, he gives us a whole nother day every week to rest. Why wouldn't God just make us stronger, more resilient, so we didn't need to rest so much or not rest at all? Well, he made us this way to need so much rest so that we'd be regularly reminded of our dependence upon him. He reminds us regularly through rest that we depend on him. When you rest as a Christian, you are entrusting your life to God. Every night you go to sleep, there's more work to do, there's stuff to be done, but it says in Psalm 3, I lay down and sleep in peace because the Lord is keeping me. Not just protecting me, but he's going to provide for me. I don't have to be frantic and frenzied all my life to provide for myself, because I can go to sleep and trust that God will give me what I need. I've had to learn that lesson all throughout my life, especially as a pastor. There's always more things to do. I'm never caught up. No sermon is ever perfect. I can keep working on it and working on it and working on it. And earlier on in my ministry, I had lots of late nights and early mornings because I needed to work more. But I'm learning and continuing to learn to put in the time that I have. And although it's not perfect, I've learned to go to bed and to rest and trust in it to the Lord. Resting is an act of faith, a constant reminder that the Lord is your provider. And he'll give you what you need. Don't fret. I know your life isn't all that different from mine. There's lots of things to do. But when you go to sleep or when you keep the Lord's day, you're demonstrating your faith, trusting that he is keeping you. One of the best decisions I made in college was to set aside my homework on the Lord's day to rest and to socialize and to worship and to take a nap. All without guilt. And I encourage you, college students, make that commitment. I guarantee you, you won't regret it. Demonstrate your faith by working 6 days and then resting. Trust the outcome to God. It will give order to your life, the kind that you need. So the first reason, keep the Sabbath because God kept it. The second reason we're given is in Deuteronomy 5. Keep the Sabbath day because you're not a slave anymore. Keep the Sabbath because you're not a slave anymore. It says, keep the Sabbath because you were slaves in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, keep the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day was meant to be a celebration of the freedom that they had from God. Keep the Sabbath day. Rest. Celebrate that you're not a slave anymore. Of course, back in Egypt, the Israelites had to work every day because they were slaves. That's the life of a slave. Slaves don't get to rest. And actually, in most of the world at that time, most of the population was enslaved. The powerful enslaved the weak. But when God set them free, he said, keep the Sabbath as a reminder. You're not a slave anymore. This motivation to keep the Sabbath really encourages us to use the Sabbath to celebrate all that God has done for us. Don't let your love for money or your addiction to work or your need for a grade dictate your life. Those things can enslave us, but God sets you free from this tyranny. Celebrate your freedom on the Sabbath. Of course, this points us to the fact, to the reality of what Christ has done for us. Because Christ has set us free, we can celebrate that freedom keeping the Lord's day. And Jesus said, if I have set you free, then you are free indeed. On one or more occasions that Jesus healed on the Sabbath day, and the Pharisees reacted violently against it. Not because he healed someone, but because he healed on the Sabbath. And one time he responded saying, here's a woman. She's been bound for 18 years by Satan. There is no better day to free this woman than the Sabbath day, because this is the day we celebrate our freedom. This is the day of liberation. You're not a slave anymore. So these are the two reasons to keep the Lord's Day holy. Keep the Sabbath because God did, demonstrating your dependence upon Him, and keep the Sabbath because you're not slave any longer. Now, part of the reason why we're given the Ten Commandments twice is because there is a 40-year gap in between Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 4. And during those 40 years, when the Israelites wandered in the wilderness, an entirely new generation arose, and they perhaps needed a reminder that God had set them free from Egypt. And so when Moses gave the Ten Commandments again, he didn't just make a photocopy, but he took those commands and he applied them to this new generation. And so he reminded them, remember, your parents were slaves in Egypt. You were slaves in Egypt, but God brought you out. And so he's applying this command to the second generation. And really, when you think about it, every generation could add reasons for why we should keep the Sabbath. There was a time in the time of Jeremiah when when God promised the restoration of the exiles and that God would redeem them out of the land of Babylon. And Jeremiah says he'll redeem you in such a way that people will no longer refer to the exodus from Egypt, but they'll refer to when God gathered his people from all the lands. So if the fourth commandment was given during the time of Jeremiah, it would perhaps read something like this. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, for you're no longer exiles, but now you dwell in your own land. Remember the Sabbath day as a celebration of your homecoming, how God delivered you from the nations. Well, of course, hundreds of years after that, the reason to keep this command would be different yet again. It would be added to. When the Lord Jesus came and lived under the law, he lived the cursed life because he bore the weight of our sin. Then he went to the cross, he died the shameful death that we should have died. And then 3 days later, he rose again from the dead. And through his death and resurrection, he has brought us from death to life. He set us free from the kingdom of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, the kingdom of light. No longer are you under the power of the devil, but now you are under the power of a loving, caring king. And because of that redemptive work, in Hebrews 4 it says, so there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. But that day of rest changed to the day that our Savior rested. He completed his work on the cross, rose from the dead, rested at the right hand of God. And why should you observe this Lord's Day, the New Testament Sabbath? To celebrate the redemption that you have in Jesus Christ, who finished his work on the cross, sat down at the right hand of God. Your work, your ambitions, your sins, your desires, they no longer enslave you because you've been set free in Jesus Christ. So celebrate that day by remembering the Sabbath. God has given us a precious gift, the gift of rest, one day each week. We get to rest from our labors. We get to rest from our labors, trusting that God will provide. We get to rest celebrating that we're no longer slaves. And we get to rest celebrating the new life that we have in Jesus Christ, that we rest in Him. Now, there are lots of people who've come up with various reasons why they don't observe a Sabbath. And perhaps you have reasons why you don't observe a Sabbath. Well, God's given you a gift that you need. And if you've stuck it under the leg of your desk, your life's going to be frenzied and unsettled, and you're going to live like a slave again. Remember the Sabbath because you need it. You're not a slave anymore. You've been set free through Christ. Celebrate that freedom. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you have given us the gift of rest. You've blessed us with a day each week to rest and to celebrate what you've done for us, to remember that we're no longer slaves, but you set us free in Jesus Christ. Help us to use this gift to the fullest extent and let it bring order and calm to our lives. We thank you for giving us the gift that we need. It's in Jesus that we pray. Amen.